5 years ago, we were living in a Landshut right after we had made Aliyah. And Israel was in the middle of Operation Tzuk Eitan. Since we were living in a Landshut, we were kind of in the center of everything, as the entire episode had started with the kidnapping of Naftali Frankel, Ayal Ifra, and Gilad Shear, which happened about a 7-minute walk from where we lived in a Landshut. So the whole experience, we were very, we felt very much that we were in the center of what was going on. I remember it was about 7 weeks total, the whole saga from start to finish. And the end chunk happened around over the 3 weeks. And I remember going into the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and especially on Tisha B'Av, feeling a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, because we were in the middle of a war, and how can anything go well or be good over Tisha B'Av? We just kind of felt like there was no way this was gonna end well. This is basically cursed. At the same time, it bothered me that I felt that way, because I'm not a superstitious person, and why should I feel that during a specific time, it was doomed to failure. It didn't really make sense to me. So I was struggling with those feelings of, at the same time, really feeling this stress and also feeling like not superstitious. I shouldn't be this superstitious. What I want to talk about today is, why was I feeling that way? And is this kind of the Jewish halachic way to feel? If you look in the Gemara, in Masechet Tanit, it has a very famous phrase. We have source number one, Amar Rav Yehuda Bari Derav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav, Kishim Mishenichnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. So we have the very famous phrase, right? Just like when we enter Av, we should lessen our simcha. The same way, when we go into Adar, we should have more simcha. And starting here, we see this concept that there are certain times of the year where you're supposed to feel a certain way, right? It's clear that this concept does exist. And taking it a bit farther, if you look in source number two, right, we talk about this idea that there's not only are you supposed to feel a certain way, there's a reason for that. If you look historically, and this is just in the Gemara, right, we're going to see the list of the things that happened on certain days in the Gemara, but even after this time in the Gemara, historically, there are many, many more things that, bad things that happen on these days, right? We have Chamishad Varim Iru Ed Avotenu B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, right? We have 5 bad things that happened to our forefathers on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. And we have 5 things that happened on Tisha B'Av. B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, Nishbaru HaLuchot, on the 17th of Tammuz, the Luchot were broken, U'Batel HaTamid, the tamid was never. We stopped sacrificing the korban tamid. V'huvka'ir, v'saraf of tamas et ha'torah v'hamid selam behechal. Right, and we saw that the by Moshe. Right, so we had the deal, and the Roman authorities. So the city walls of Yerushalayim were breached. The general Optimus publicly burned a Torah scroll, and Menashe placed an idol in the sanctuary. B'Tisha B'Av nigzar al avotenu shelo yichnesu la'aretz, and on Tisha B'Av, it was decreed on our ancestors that they would not enter Eretz Yisrael. V'charav habayit hareishon v'ashniya, and both the first and second Beit Hamikdash was destroyed. V'nilkada Beitar, and Beitar was captured. V'nichrasha ha'ir, and the city of Yerushalayim was destroyed. So we see that not only, right, was I feeling anxiety, but there was a reason for it. And I think the reason is that when everyone's in elementary school, you learn about this when you learn about the Meraglim, right? In the story of the Meraglim, we see this, Hashem says, right? You know, the midrash about the psukim explains, right? Atem bachi tem bechia shel chinam, v'ani ekvel lechem bechia ledorot, right? This idea that when Bnei Yisrael kind of made up this idea that they, you know, that the Eretz Yisrael wasn't good and they were crying, Hashem said, you cried for no reason. I'm going to make it that you're going to continue to cry for many generations. So we see from here that there is some source. There's some reason that, you know, we're supposed to feel that this day, in some way, it really is cursed. And so the question is, what is the nature of this curse? And, you know, what's the purpose of it? And that's what I want to talk about today. So a few, one interesting, you know, kind of result of this, you know, this history, which, of, as we saw in the Gemara, that there were many different things that happened on these days, and there were also, but even after these days, we saw this happens over and over again throughout Jewish history. This, in, throughout Jewish history, this is always a time that, you know, bad things happen, right? When I was feeling, you know, stressed out and, you know, a lot of anxiety during the war, you know, 5 years ago, there was a reason, right? Historically, this is a bad time. So we also try to almost commemorate this or feel this way through some of the halachot that apply during this time. So not only are we supposed to remember that historically bad things happen, we're supposed to, there are halachot telling us there are certain things you shouldn't do during this time that remind you that this might actually be a dangerous time. If you look in source number 3, it says, "Mishenichnas av mematin b'simcha." When you enter av, you diminish in simcha, in happiness. "Ubar Yisrael di'it le'dina b'hadekute." And if there is a Jewish person who has a court case with a non-Jewish person, "Lishtamit b'nei d'rei mazle," he should try to avoid it. Because it's bad, there's bad luck during that time. So the halacha is that if there is, for some reason, right, you have a court case, you have some type of disagreement with a non-Jewish person, you're supposed to try to avoid it because this is a bad time. So it's not just that historically there are bad things that happen, it's we're supposed to be nervous that bad things might happen. And even not on a macro level, right, not in just like things happening to the entire nation, but also personally, right, you're supposed to be nervous that something might happen to you. And source number 4, we see additional halachot like this, right, we have, so amnam nachon lizeir shivatayim b'yamim elu lo lashut v'lidrachetz b'mekamot sheyesh chashash sakana. So you should be, it is the right thing to do, to worry sevenfold during this time, not to swim or bathe in any places that might be dangerous. Ki hayamim musugalim. Because ratzin lamar ledvarim bilti ritzuim. Because these days, there's a like good chance that, you know, things, bad things are going to happen. V'yish nahagu lahorot ekev kach lihimanem lelech layam. And there are those who, during those days, try to not go to swimming or go to a lake. So I think, and these are also very common halachot. We know this is, you know, I think very popular because, you know, everyone knows about this because the 3 weeks are in the summer. And, you know, when you're in the camp, this is one of the main activities in camp, or just in the summer, one of the main things people like to do is go swimming. So it's, especially everyone knows that during the 3 weeks, we try not to go swimming. So we see these halachot are somehow supposed to remind us, or in some level remind us that there are dangerous things might happen during this time, and therefore you should try not to do anything that's too risky. So the question is, how are we supposed to understand this from a kind of halachic perspective? How, like, you know, what's the nature of this type of feeling that it seems like we're supposed to have during this time? So the first, So in one of the problems, I think, when I was saying earlier that I would always feel nervous during that time, specifically 5 years ago, but I'm saying even when I was driving here today, I kind of made sure to drive a little bit more carefully because it's Tisha B'Av and I'm driving. So for some reason, we're a little, you know, we tend to be a little more nervous, but at the same time, that bothers me. And why does it bother me? Anyone have an idea? I'm not superstitious, but at the same time, we actually have halachot that say we're not supposed to do things like this. If you look on source number 5 in the Rambam, right, it says, Ezehu meonin, elu notnei team shomrim astagninot, yom ploni tov, yom ploni ra, yom ploni ra ui la sopo melacha ploni, ploni, shana ploni ochodesh ploni rab ledevar ploni. Right, so who is considered a magician, right? Something you're not allowed to, this was just something that you're not allowed to do. Well, who is considered a person like this? That is a person who gives specific times certain astrological meaning, right? If this day was a good day, this day is a bad day, right? This is a day that you're supposed to do, a good day for doing this type of work. This day is, and this year is a good year, or this month is a good month for something. So we have a halacha that you're actually not supposed to do this, right? You are not supposed to say, this time is good, this time is bad. So that seems to fall completely contradictory to this whole idea of the 3 weeks being a time that bad things are gonna happen. So one approach that we have to dealing with this issue is found in many Rishonim and is based on the Gemara that I mentioned earlier, but I don't have down on the sheet, which is the idea of Atem bachitem bechia shel chinam v'ani akvel lechem bechia ledorot, which is you cried, right, for no reason, and therefore, I will make you cry, I will give you reason to cry for future generations. When we talk about that, many Rishonim say, when the Rambam is saying that you're not allowed to make specific times bad times, you're not allowed to say this is a bad time or this is a good time, the reason for that is because it might give significance to times that have no meaning, right? You're going to end up following, not focused you in the right direction. You're going to say, you're reading your horoscope, and therefore this is what you should be doing now, and you're kind of following something that has no meaning. And this is dafka, something that's the opposite, because here there is a reason for you to be nervous. There is a reason for you to be scared, because it's clear that God intended this to be a time when things, bad things could happen to the Jewish people for a reason, because, when they were in the Midbar, they were nervous and they didn't fully trust God. And as a result, now there is a time that you have to be a little more nervous and bad things can happen. And that is supposed to, instead, that's actually the opposite of what the prohibition of following a magician's all about. Because that prohibition is about following something that's kind of nothing, that has no meaning. Where this is the opposite, which is you're actually supposed to try to somehow correct what we did in the Midbar, right? What we're trying to do is we're trying to say, well, yeah, you're nervous, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what we do going forward, but part of what we're doing here is kind of reflecting on what we did and what landed us in this place in the first place and trying to move forward with that. And since we're doing that, we need to, there's no reason that this is wrong, because this is actually dictated by God rather than being something that is, in and of itself superstitious, right? Superstitious means that it's coming from nowhere. Here we're saying actually this is coming from somewhere, and this is something you have to think about, and it's something that you do need to reflect and, and hopefully being able to move on and improve yourself based on, what you've reflected upon during this time. So that's our first approach. I want to look at two more different approaches, and then I would like to bring them together. So the Meiri, when he's talking, brings up this kind of topic when he's talking about something different. He brings up this issue when he's discussing Rosh Hashanah, right? And what's the issue? And the issue that we're discussing with Rosh Hashanah is the simanim, right? This idea of having things that are symbolic on Rosh Hashanah that are meant to somehow kind of, you know, inspire us, or, you know, to kind of, you know, think that next year is going to be a good year and help us move forward to have a good, you know, to maybe be better, have a sweet year. You know, all the simanim we have the apple and the rimonim. So when he's discussing this issue and saying, he's saying, okay, how do these work? We're going to try to take a look at this and apply it to what we think about and how we relate to all these halachot that we have during Av. So if you look at source number 6 in the Me'iri, Atzad Shelo Yitu, Ba'amram Simna Meltahi. So we say it's the symbol. These symbols are meaningful. Shehiye Zed Derech Nachash, right? This will be. Is this somehow magic? Chalil Rabbeinu Mirasha, right? So don't think that the rabbis are evil and they were trying to, you know, do these magical spells where you eat an apple and then it makes you have a sweet ear. Hayta haskama likro aleim dvarim yaru al slicha v'hara al hatshuva. These things were agreed upon, right, to read them and to show them in order to help you achieve tshuva, help you ask for forgiveness and achieve forgiveness during this time. V'amra miltahi rotze bo sheha'arot hatshuva gam mivli kviat tfila rak derech siman. Right. So the point, right, and the point of these things is that it will help you do tshuva, even without, beyond just the tefillah, beyond just the prayer that you're doing, you'll have other things that are symbolic and help you on a different level to have the right kavana to do tshuva. And just to take a pause here, it's, you know, we definitely on Rosh Hashanah, you have many points during the day where you're in shul and you're davening and clearly you're focused on transforming and changing yourself. But there are also times on Rosh Hashanah where you're at home, relaxing, having your meals. And the point here is that we have almost like two different layers of how we're looking to achieve tshuva. On the one hand, you're super focused at a time when you're in shul and davening. But then what happens when you're home? What happens when you're not there? It's very hard to have that tefillah impact, have your davening impact the rest of your day. Because when, you know, the rest of your day, you're doing normal things. And so these simanim are meant to be kind of it's a lower kind of level of focus, but it's supposed to continue for the rest of your day in a kind of in a different way. So even when you're not 100% focused on your tefillah and on your tshuva, you have these reminders that will kind of come into your life and continue to make sure that you're aware that you're in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and you should be trying to achieve this tshuva. Continuing in the source, and this is why you're supposed to look at them at the time when you're eating.
Right,
because you're in the middle of eating, and it might be that you're just focused on enjoying your food, and you totally forget what the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is, right? You're at a meal, right? You're just enjoying yourself. So if you have these simanim, it reminds you during the time that you're eating that you should also be focused on tshuva, and you'll only eat the amount you have to eat, and you'll be able to always kind of be focused on the tshuva that you're trying to achieve. You're not just gonna, you know, finish shul, and you have basically from, you know, the end of Shacharis until Mincha time where you get to do whatever you want and not think about it. It's meant to bring the element of tshuva, what you're supposed to be focusing on during this time, and help you continue to focus on it even during the time of day when that isn't the 100% focus. And I actually like the term that he uses, Torat Orai, where it's something that's kind of not as deep. It's kind of a shallower level of tshuva, but it's something that's shallow, but it's able to continue throughout your day. Right? It's not Yom Kippur where you're davening all day, but it's still Rosh Hashanah where the whole day you're supposed to have an awareness that that's what you should be focused on. And that's why we say Yehi Ratzons on them, right? That's why we kind of specify what they're all about, right? You're supposed to have special foods, kind of remember what the purpose of these special foods are, and that is supposed to help you focus the rest of your day when you're not 100% focused on tshuva, that you are able to still have that part of the day, have that element of the day, be a part of what you're thinking about and what you're focusing on. So according to the Meiri, when he talks about this idea of simna miltahi, right, he talks about these little things that you do during the day are supposed to in some way help you focus and help you get the right things out of the day, get the right purpose out of the day, at the rest of the whole day. So if we try to apply that, I think to our case when we're talking about Tisha B'Av and Av and all the halachot that we have that again try to make us feel, try to remind us of what the purpose of the day is, we see that it's basically the idea is education, right? You're supposed to kind of learn. There is a purpose of this day. It's really hard, a kind of a special focus of the week, and you're supposed to do all you can do to be able to focus on this idea and have this impact your life. And the halacha itself is giving you different ways of doing that, whether it's on Rosh Hashanah, where on Rosh Hashanah you are, you're having some symbolic foods during your meal that's supposed to remind you of what you're trying to achieve, or in Av, where the whole 3 weeks you're supposed to be kind of making yourself nervous and kind of scared because you're supposed to have this feeling that we have during the 3 weeks where we might have these things that are going to happen to us, and you're supposed to take what happened historically, and I think what continues to happen historically, and try to act in your day-to-day behavior, right, and not go swimming, right, be a little extra careful, right, people don't like to travel also, or try not to get into something that could end badly, because during that time, we have this, nervousness that something bad can happen. Yes, but I think it's when we look at the approach of the Meiri, it's much more kind of educational, where you're supposed to be able to remember kind of how to focus. It's kind of how do we get people to focus on the right things during this day, and how can we use these halachot to refocus you to be kind of, thinking and achieve the goals of this point in the year. The Chaye Adam has a slightly different approach to this in source number 7. So it says, "V'kevan shehu tchilat hashana, nohagin la'asot siman tov le'chol dvarim harumzim lezeh." So he's also talking about Rosh Hashanah, right, where we talk about all these simanim that we have in Rosh Hashanah. And he's saying, because it's the beginning of the year, we're basically trying to kickstart this beginning of the year by doing these good things, and hopefully it will have a long-term impact. This idea that something that you do, right, there's a certain time of the year where there is almost perhaps a mystical idea that you can kick off the beginning of the year with certain things that will help you get through the year in a positive way, help you have a sweet year in and of itself. So we somehow, it's mystically, right, you're like setting the tone at the beginning of the year that it will continue for the rest of the year. So I think the way that we would kind of apply this to our, to the 3 weeks is kind of actually flipping it upside down. Because when we saw in the earlier Gemara, which is that there was something that happened historically that set in motion that this time is a bad time, right? This time, bad things could happen. So the same way you can kickstart your year, right, there's this mystical idea and make it good, we, thousands of years ago, made this a bad time. We showed that we didn't trust God, and therefore it is possible that for future generations we have, right, there's always gonna, we kind of kickstarted badly, so we have this time of the year where we're nervous that bad things are gonna happen. But the question is, how does that, you know, how are we supposed to react to that? How is that supposed to impact us? And, you know, the idea that when we're trying to, when you think of the whole package of the 3 weeks, is we're supposed to focus and remember that this is, you know, because of something that happened a long time ago, and we're in some way trying to reverse that, and trying to kind of make it better. Right, so we have, so there's an inherent potential all the time. It's almost the Chaye Adam's approach is almost mystical, right? You have an inherent potential that you can set in motion at the beginning of a year with Rosh Hashanah. The same way, there was an inherent potential at the time of the Meraglim, which we set in motion, and now it's our responsibility to try to kind of fix that. There was a really, so we had three approaches that we saw to understanding how this works. Right, we have one approach that this is really okay. I mean, we have this idea that maybe that this time is cursed. You know, during these 3 weeks are cursed, and specifically Tisha B'Av and Shiva Esar Tammuz is almost cursed. And the reason that that's okay is because when it's connected to God, right, and it's about how it's God telling you that these are the times that are cursed, and these are the times you have to be more careful. It's not, you know, going after some other god, going after something that, you know, it doesn't really exist, like astrology and horoscopes. It's something real, and therefore that's okay. And the second approach is much more educational, where we're saying, yeah, this time wasn't a good time, and we need to, according to the, according to the Meiri, kind of emphasize and think about it, and these halachot that we have for the 3 weeks help us kind of think about these ideas of kind of what went wrong during the 3 weeks and help us kind of, you know, try to do tshuva. And I think, you know, a lot of the things that go on in communities today really try to harness that idea of, you know, if you think of the Chafetz Chaim videos that started when I was like in elementary school, this whole idea of, you know, the Chorban happened because of Lashon Hara, and now we're going to try to fix it, right? We're going to try to, that's what we're going to work on during those days, right? So educationally, we're trying to like kind of remember, this is what happened, and how are we going to try to get out of it and shift that? And the third approach that we saw in the Chaye Adam is that there's this inherent potential that you have. You know, almost, I'm saying it could be a mystical approach, right? There's inherent potential to certain times of the year. And it happens to be that we set in motion that this was a negative time in the year, and we dafka have to work on it in order to change that. An interesting perspective that comes from Rav Chasdai Kreskes. When we talk, Rishonim have tried to explain the kind of, or kind of list, Ikarei Emunah, things that you have to believe in. Rav Chasdai Kreskes does something similar, but a bit different, where he basically has what he calls the Ikarim HaTulim B'Mitzvot, which are these principles, important things that you have to believe in that are based on the mitzvot, where he looks at the Torah and he says, based on what I see in the Torah, here are kind of important principles that you have to believe. And one of the things that he believes is that each part of the year has an inherent potential, an inherent like nature to it. But I think if you just kind of think about how, if you kind of do a, you know, make a circle, think about, you know, go through the cycle of the year and see, you know, think about what all the chagim are all about, I think there's truth to that, where we, you know, each chag has something different we're supposed to focus on at a different point. And based on that, he says, yeah, each part of the year has a certain potential that we're supposed to try to tap into during that time of the year. So let's take a look at it inside, right? V'kafi mashehi, it's source number, it actually 7.5, because it didn't get a number. I apologize. Okay, v'kafi mashehi hirunil b'mashekadan, Right, if this is the case, right, he was just explaining this, we have an amazing, this is an amazing idea for us, this is an amazing benefit for us. Right, because when we specify certain times for specific types of actions or specific types of worship, a person's able to kind of unlock a big kind of potential, to specify his thoughts for a certain type, for like certain types of worships, to kind of try to focus on certain different things at these different times. And being able to focus on these specific things can really like unlock a tremendous potential for people. Right, and really help them become more complete people with their work. Right, and it's a good thing to kind of focus on at this time. Right, and all these different types of avodah that you're supposed to be focusing on all year long, obviously you need to have a bit of it in every part of the year, but when you get to that point during the year, that chag, where you're supposed to focus on whatever it is that that chag is focusing on. For, you know, when we talk, when Pesach, you're supposed to focus on, you know, getting out of Mitzrayim and becoming a nation. And on Shavuot, you're supposed to focus on getting the Torah. And each part of the year, you're supposed to have a certain type of focus where we have certain mitzvot that help us achieve that goal during that time. And basically, by having different points during the year where you focus on something else and you're able to kind of have a complete personality where you've had time to focus on all these different important things that you have to focus on and think about and work on. So it's almost, you know, it's God's giving you a calendar, right? You can't work on everything intensely at the same time, but at each point, you have to be able to focus on one thing and work on these specific things during different points in the year. And that way, you could hopefully, over the course of the year, really have worked on all these different elements of what you should be working on. And you can understand this in many different ways. You can see this as something that's educational, just like we saw in the Meiri, right? This idea that you are supposed to, you know, that the idea that, yeah, it's, you know, educationally asking someone to do everything at the same time can be very difficult. So we could say that we're taking, you know, we're splitting up the year where you have a special focus on different things during different times. Or you could look at it metaphysically, right, where there's actually an inherent nature of that point of year to be working on that type of whatever it is, you know, asking for tshuva during that time. I always felt that the connection, dafka, between the 3 weeks and like Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, the whole point of tshuva, was actually a very good connection where, you know, I think that running a program, I think, for Torah in Motion for university students a couple of years ago, and the focus of our 3 weeks program then was Mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, because one of the reasons that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed was because people didn't treat each other properly. And I felt like we spent time looking at specific mitzvot and the nature of Mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and why they're so important, and at the same time as trying to kind of redeem ourselves from the, you know, what happened during the time of 3 weeks and hopefully being able to, you know, merit the third Beit HaMikdash, we were preparing for Rosh Hashanah. We were supposed to be kind of thinking about what mitzvot, you know, you need to work harder on. And a lot of the time, the mitzvot that we tend to, you know, try to, you know, sweep under the rug are mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro. What's much easier to ask forgiveness from God than it is to actually work on our personal relationships. So I felt like that point, it was kind of, like when we were learning about that, I felt like it was, you know, the calendar was made like perfectly where we were able to spend that time focusing on something that really was connected to the Chorban and how it was able to move on and affect our kind of our tshuva process and bring us kind of very nicely and smoothly into the point of time that we are supposed to be doing teshuva. And the third approach, a third way we could kind of understand this approach of Rechazdei Kreskes is also this idea that we saw in the Chayei Adam, which is different points of the year give us momentum to work on certain things. So I think Rechazdei Kreskes could almost kind of be seen in, kind of very different ways, but they all kind of give us, I think some much more logical explanations and some more metaphysical explanations as to why we have this nervousness and this idea that, that during the time of the 3 weeks, it could on some level be cursed, and understanding it and hopefully being able to process it and use these ideas. It's not just that we have to be terrified during this time, but you're supposed to be nervous and you're supposed to use that kind of nervousness and these ideas to help kind of spring us forward and change and take what we're really supposed to learn and change based on what we have gone through during this time. So it's not just supposed to be a paralyzing fear, it's supposed to be, kind of appreciating, what went wrong and somehow take the different pieces of what went wrong at different times and use that to hopefully get us to a better place and, get us closer to getting the third Beit HaMikdash and helping us really, I think, achieve tshuva when we reach Rosh Hashanah about, a month or so later. I think Rav David Abrosky has a summary of the Halachot of the 9 days where he tries to, I think, focus less on the details of what the Halachot are, but more as to what is the ultimate purpose of the Halachot. And I thought it was a nice way to end. If you look at from Rosh Chodesh Av, source number 8, until the fast of Tisha B'Av, we begin a more intense period of mourning over the destruction of the first and second temples. During these days, one should dedicate time to thinking about the great tragedies in Jewish history, beginning with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, including the tragic results of the Bar Kochba revolt, the medieval crusades, the Inquisition, pogroms and expulsions, modern persecutions of the Jews, the Holocaust, and the numerous and unrelenting terror attacks against innocent civilians. Consider that although we may not know why these tragedies occur, we can focus on our own national, communal, and personal flaws and sins, and work to improve ourselves. Learn more about the Beit HaMikdash and its place in our spiritual, ethical, and national experience. Acknowledge and be thankful for Medina Israel. Think about how we can grow and improve, but be careful not to lose perspective and not to ignore the miraculous events of the past 70 years, as well as the incredible achievements of its citizens. And if you do not already live in Israel, it's time. And of course, be especially patient and forgiving. Be careful not to say something which may embarrass or hurt another person. Be particularly kind to those who may be especially lonely, vulnerable, or in need. In order to ensure that we don't forget these important halachot, rabbinic law and Ashkenazic custom forbid eating meat and drinking wine during this period, laundering and bathing for pleasure, and engaging in especially festive and joyous behavior, including attending events with live music and dancing. And I think he does a good job at flipping it, where instead of we have the halachot and and we focus on the halachot and kind of what they're supposed to achieve, but realizing that the ultimate purpose is really the important point here, and we have ways that Chazal have suggested to kind of achieve that goal. And whether we're looking at the kind of historic significance of the 3 weeks as something that is ultimately mystical, and therefore kind of we're just stuck in the cycle, and we have this time where things are going to go wrong, looking at it as something mystical, looking at it as something educational, right, where we're dafka, we kind of are focusing on certain points in order to achieve a certain type of redemption from what went wrong, or looking at it as, God giving us different points of the year and momentum to achieve different things and work on, different types of service of God and fixing different things at different points. I think, each of these perspectives really, the important takeaway is that it's not about, what happened, it's not about being paralyzed by the fear, it's how do we take that and move forward with it and try to change our lives and the general, and bring the third Beit HaMikdash, and you know, change our midot, and help us kind of get to a better place based on what happened, and us trying to commemorate what happened at the same time as learning how to become better people because of it. So I think our goal is, first, I think like the way the Gemara is structured is that it's not just the one day. We have the 3 weeks leading up to it, right? So we also have this idea, like, so it's the, you know, it's the whole 3 weeks that we have like certain types of halakhot. And I think that, you know, again, the takeaway from the shir is whatever we gain on Tisha B'Av is supposed to be something that's able to bring us and, you know, help us move past that and become better people based on whatever experience we had on Tisha B'Av. So it should change after that point, I think. I think also part of it is that, I think, like how Rav Chasdei Kreskes phrases it, is that all these feelings are supposed to be things that we have all the time, just at certain points, like parts of it are heightened, right? So. I think we
do trust in Hashem, but I think we have to reflect as to what are things that we can basically, you know, change and how we can improve. And that's how we kind of move past that and hopefully, you know, are able to have, you know, kind of get Hashem back on our side. We trust Hashem because we're trying to do the right thing and fix what went wrong.